Welcome to Ujjayini.com, your daily current affairs companion for UPSC and state PCs preparation. A significant shift in the political landscape of Kerala is underway as the United Democratic Front, led by the Indian National Congress, returns to power after 5 years of left Democratic Front rule under Pinrai Vijayan. The Chief Minister Designate, V.D. Sathisan, has submitted a list of 20 ministers to the Kerala Governor, Rajendra Arlekar, and the swearing-in ceremony is scheduled to take place on 18 May 2026 at 10 a.m. at Central Stadium, Thiruvananthapuram. What makes this significant is that the cabinet of 20 ministers plus the chief minister equals 21, precisely at the constitutional ceiling set by Article 164(1)(a). Let us delve into the constitutional framework that governs the Council of Ministers at the state level. Article 163 states that there shall be a Council of Ministers with the Chief Minister at the head to aid and advise the Governor in the exercise of his functions, except in so far as he is by or under this constitution required to act in his discretion. The Governor is the constitutional head of the state, but the Council of Ministers is the real executive. The Governor acts on the aid and advice of the Council of Ministers in ordinary matters. However, in matters where the Constitution vests discretionary power in the Governor, such as the appointment of the Chief Minister when no party has a clear majority, or the dismissal of a government that has lost its majority, the Governor may act independently. Crucially, the scope of gubernatorial discretion has been consistently narrowed by Supreme Court judgments, most notably in the cases of Shamsher Singh v. State of Punjab, 1974, and S.R. Bommai v. Union of India, 1994. Now, let us turn to Article 164, which deals with other provisions as two ministers. Article 164(1)(a), also known as the 15% ceiling, was inserted by the 91st Constitutional Amendment Act, 2003, to curb cabinet expansion for political patronage. This amendment was a direct response to the recommendations of the National Commission to Review the Working of the Constitution, chaired by Justice M.N. Venkatachalia. The 91st Amendment simultaneously applied the same cap to the Union Council of Ministers under Article 75(1)(a), with a maximum of 81 ministers for the 543-seat Lok Sabha. Note this carefully: the total number of ministers, including the chief minister, in a state shall not exceed 15% of the total strength of the legislative assembly, with a minimum of 12. Now, let us look at the Kerala Assembly and the key facts surrounding the new cabinet. V.D. Sathisan, the chief minister designate, has served as the leader of opposition in the outgoing assembly, giving him extensive experience in scrutinizing the LDF government's administrative decisions. He succeeds Pinrai Vijayan, who completed two consecutive terms, a rare achievement in Kerala's alternating political cycle. The cabinet composition has some key features. Firstly, there are 14 first-time ministers, which signals a generational shift in UDF governance. This reflects the Congress's intent to project a new, reform-oriented phase distinct from the older UDF tenures. It also rewards constituency-level workers who delivered the election victory and infuses fresh energy while retaining experienced hands in key portfolios. What does this mean for the representation of marginalized communities? The new cabinet includes two SC ministers, which is a significant development given that the outgoing LDF cabinet had zero SC ministers in its second term. This gap was widely criticized by Dalit organizations in Kerala, particularly in the context of the state's otherwise high social development indicators. And here is something that surprises many students: the representation of women in the cabinet remains limited, with only two women ministers, one of whom is Deputy Speaker Shanimol Usman. This is a recurring criticism of both UDF and LDF governments, given Kerala's record in social indicators, including the highest female literacy and the lowest gender gap among Indian states. Now, Let us examine the coalition dynamics at play. The Indian Union Muslim League, or IUML, is the second largest constituent of the UDF and sends 5 ministers to the Sathisan cabinet. The IUML's presence reflects its pivotal role in UDF's electoral arithmetic, given Kerala's Muslim population of approximately 26.6% concentrated in Malabar or northern Kerala. To senior leaders, Ramesh Chennithala and K. Muralidharan bring institutional experience to the new cabinet. Ramesh Chennithala, the former Home Minister and leader of the opposition during the first LDF term, is known for his tenacious opposition politics and brings administrative and political management experience in law and order and home affairs. K. Muralidharan, the son of late former PM K. Karunakaran, is a senior INC figure who brings continuity of Congress organizational experience. Their inclusion balances the large cohort of first-time ministers and provides institutional memory in governance. But why does this matter? The role of the gunner in government formation is crucial, and in Kerala's 2026 scenario, the gunner's role follows the standard constitutional convention. The gunner's discretion is minimal when a party or coalition has a clear majority, as affirmed in the S.R. Bommai case. The gunner cannot delay oath administration or refuse to appoint the cabinet list submitted by the chief minister in a majority government scenario. Now, let us turn to the oaths that each minister must take. Under the third schedule of the constitution, each minister must take the oath of office, which is to faithfully discharge duties, uphold the constitution, and defend the sovereignty and integrity of India. They must also take the oath of secrecy, which is not to directly or indirectly communicate or reveal any matter brought under consideration or known as a minister. Both oaths are administered by the governor. Now, let us look at Kerala's political cycle and its historical context. Kerala is notable for its alternating power pattern, with voters historically alternating between UDF and LDF every 5 years. Pinrai Vijayan's 2021 re-election was a historic exception, the first time in Kerala's post-independence history that a sitting government was re-elected. The 2026 result resumes the alternating cycle. Now, let us discuss the doctrine of collective responsibility, which is enshrined in Article 164(2). This principle states that the entire Council of Ministers is responsible to the Legislative Assembly. What does this mean? Cabinet decisions are binding on all ministers, and a minister who disagrees must either accept the decision publicly or resign. If the government loses a vote of no confidence in the Assembly, the entire Council of Ministers must resign. A vote of no confidence against even a single minister, if it brings down the government, applies to all. This doctrine prevents ministerial dissent in public, and all disputes must be resolved internally in cabinet meetings. This is in contrast with individual responsibility, where a minister can be dismissed by the governor on the chief minister's advice, even if the cabinet retains a majority. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The 91st Constitutional Amendment Act, 2003, inserted Article 164(1)(a) and also inserted Article 75(1)(a), capping the Union Council of Ministers at 15% of Lok Sabha strength, with a maximum of 81 for 543 seats. Kerala has 140 seats, and 15% of that is 21, which is exactly the size of Sathisan's cabinet, including the chief minister. The CE20 engine is not relevant here, but it is worth noting that the 91st Amendment also strengthened anti-defection provisions, requiring at least 2/3 of the original party strength for a merger exemption. Kerala's political cycle is notable for its sustained alternating pattern between two alliances, UDF and LDF, for over 4 decades. Pinrai Vijayan's 2021 re-election was the sole exception in this pattern. The IUML, or Indian Union Muslim League, is the only Muslim league in independent India to remain consistently secular and part of mainstream coalition politics. It was founded in 1948 after the partition of the All India Muslim League and is headquartered in Kozhikode, Kerala. The IUML has always contested elections as part of the UDF in Kerala. The Essa Bommai case, decided by a 9-judge Supreme Court bench in 1994, held that the floor of the assembly is the only place to test majority, and the governor cannot recommend president's rule without giving the government an opportunity to prove its majority. This case effectively curtailed the arbitrary use of Article 356 and declared federalism a basic feature of the Constitution. Collective responsibility, as enshrined in Article 164(2), is a fundamental principle of parliamentary democracy, where the entire cabinet stands or falls together. If any minister's policy is repudiated by the assembly through a vote, the whole cabinet must resign. There is no concept of a minister surviving while the prime minister or chief minister falls. Now, how does this connect to your UPSC preparation? This topic is relevant to GS Paper 2, Polity and Governance. Remember this number, Article 164 and its sub-articles, including the 15% cap under Article 164(1)(a), collective responsibility under Article 164(2), and individual ministerial responsibility under Article 164(4). The 91st Constitutional Amendment Act, 2003, is also crucial, as it simultaneously capped the Union Council of Ministers under Article 75(1)(a) and strengthened anti-defection provisions. The role of the governor, as the constitutional head of the state, and the real executive, the Council of Ministers, is vital. The S.R. Bommai case and the Shamsher Singh case are important judgments that have shaped the scope of gubernatorial discretion. Coalition politics in India, including the UDF versus LDF in Kerala, is a model of state-level coalition governance. The representation of marginalized communities, including SC ministers and women in the cabinet, is a critical aspect of governance. The doctrine of collective responsibility, as opposed to individual responsibility, is a key concept in parliamentary democracy. Note this carefully, the entire cabinet stands or falls together, and there is no concept of a minister surviving while the prime minister or chief minister falls. In conclusion, the new cabinet in Kerala, led by V.D. Sathisan, marks a significant shift in the state's political landscape, with implications for governance, representation, and coalition politics. The constitutional framework that governs the Council of Ministers, including the doctrine of collective responsibility, is crucial for understanding the dynamics of power and accountability in India's parliamentary democracy. The implications of this development will be far-reaching, shaping the course of governance and politics in Kerala and beyond.